Hi, this is Alan Nelson, your host for Rev Audio Magazine. Our guest today is Bill Donahue, pastor of Leadership Development for Group Life at Willow Creek Community Church and the Willow Creek Association. Bill's a prolific thinker, writer, practitioner, and we're going to talk to him today about what's happening in the realm of adult development, what's working, what's not. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be here.
Now, you have an opportunity sort of to live in this jet stream of seeing what's happening across the country through the association and through a progressive church. We'd like to talk to you in our brief time together about just some of the big trends you're seeing in developing adults and leaders, and then maybe talk about some of the issues of how do you make transitions in a local church when something maybe isn't working, or to transition to something that's working better. So, first of all, let's just begin with some of the big trends. How are churches going about adult development? Maybe that's different than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's becoming, you know, obviously I see this through the lens I look through, which is the group life kind of thing. It's increasingly communal, even the way people are doing classes, the way people are doing things related to adults. You know, there are certainly still existing one-on-one discipleship models and those kinds of things that are very, you know, helpful and good. But there's more work around groups, kind of around the table, more interactive kinds of environments for training and equipping adults. People are obviously leveraging technology much more over the last 5 years than they have previously, where people can either download stuff or stream classes or content and engage with that. I just did some teaching here at Willow a couple months ago, and then someone came up to me a little bit after that and said, hey, it was great. I stream what you did in the service, and we take it as a small group, and I've got some seekers there, and I'm helping expose them to some of the biblical teaching, and we run it for about 10 minutes, and then we talk about it. And then that kind of stuff is happening more and more, and churches are getting more intentional about making that kind of thing available. What also seems to be a trend is just the integration of spiritual formation with community, with evangelism, sort of more holistic approaches, I think, versus segmented kind of approaches that I think we did for a while. And it's kind of like, I guess, a lot of things. You know, if you're going to teach someone how to work on a car or something, you know, you might take the component parts and explain them and you kind of separate them out, but you know they all have to work together. And I think that's kind of where the church has been in recent years. First, sort of in the 60s, 70s, it began to really start to pick up group life, which was mainly outside in para organizations, and start to learn that. So it became a very structured, kind of isolated thing, you know, get a person in a group. And then I think in the later 80s and into the 90s, we saw the rediscovery, if you will, of a lot of personal spiritual formation practices, and the writings of people like Dallas Willard and others became more in the evangelical world something. And then, of course, Hybels and Willow and some other churches really pushing the church-based evangelism and what it meant to really, you know, reach people, and whether they be attractional models or missional models. But I think all that's coming together now around adults, and people are saying, I want to develop a holistic person who is a love God, love others kind of person who exhibits all of these things, and we're going to try to integrate them.
So what I hear from you is it sounds like there's an intentionality behind it. And I think in a lot of churches we go about it so haphazardly with sort of, well, here's a good idea, let's do this for a while.
Yeah.
How do you, at least in your experience there, how do you approach this from a more intentional, thoughtful approach than just winging it?
Yeah, there's a lot of teaching out there on this, and one of the things I've come across recently in a book I've been reading by Mancini called Unique Church.
Good book.
Good book. And he talks about framing your vision, and it's, first of all, you got to have one, but to get the sense of, you know, what is our unique vision for this church and this community, and how do we begin to describe that? But then there are things that frame the vision. One is, what is our unique mission? You know, what is it we're trying to get done, and what's God called us to? And then what are some of the values that guide that we believe, and what are some of the, what's the strategy, and then what he calls marks or measures. And those four things frame the vision. And I think that is essential to kind of a process we're going through right now as well at Willow Creek as a church, and also what I see other churches. They're just not clear about that. And, you know, he says, repent for clarity is at hand. It's one of the subtitles in there, and I love that, because I think when I go around with people, they just have no idea, mm-hmm. and I don't mean this in a general sense, in a specific sense, they really don't have a clear idea of what they're trying to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're redoing that here with new language in light of Reveal and some of that, we have to regain that same clarity that we had a few years ago when we were operating under some different language and a different focus. And again, it's not this total 180, but it's certainly a reclarification, and we're sitting in meetings now saying, okay, so what's the new language that's describing this full devotion to Christ, this kind of theme and phrase we've had for a long time, but are we going to say Christ-centered? Are we going to say, are we going to keep turning religious people into fully devoted followers? We're right in the middle of reframing and talking about that because we need and want the clarity so we can call people to that, so that all the adult development that takes place is in line with that. So clarity and alignment are two huge issues that I see in churches, and again, we're working through that again here at Willow, and all churches work through it, but there's very little clarity about what we're producing and very little alignment of ministries in the church about how to make sure that's getting done.
So do you think part of that is because when you talk about spiritual formation, spiritual growth, it's sometimes so nebulous, so esoteric, so out there. Give us some maybe just everyday practical pastoring measurements or, marks that help us begin to look more objectively at these things.
Well, again, kind of some of the process that you work through is get very specific about, this. And when Jesus said, go and make a disciple, and he didn't give us a five-point bullet list kind of thing, but there's enough, obviously, in the New Testament and Old Testament to give us, a range of freedom, and I think that's intentional. But I think the first thing a church has to do is sit down and say, what would we call identifying marks, characteristics, behaviors? And people go about this, and there's different models, different ways to do it, but I think you got to come to your clarity around that. So it would be, for example, in a broader sense, Scott McKnight teaches on this, the fall really corrupted four relationships with God, with self, with others, and with the world. And so we're using that as a lens, for example, just to look through and say, okay, so what are we doing, as the whole story of the Bible attests to this, the whole redemptive story is to restore those relationships with God, self, others, and the world. And to get real practical under those and saying, okay, so if we want people to restore that relationship with God and become lovers of God, what's that look like? Well, it's going to involve certain spiritual disciplines or practices. It's going to involve certain corporate, experiences within that. It's going to involve a posture and attitude toward God. So we're going to have to teach people who God is, and we're going to have to get them in environments where they experience him. And so it starts to trickle down. And then someone has to say, okay, so what's going to happen over the next 30 days here? What are we going to do, or what initiative do we need to take place to guide people into that kind of devotion-based relationship with God? So I think that's the process. It does start with, let's define a disciple at First Church. Who are we? What kind of person are we producing? What do they look like? What kind of practices do they have? What kind of commitments do they make? Kind of behaviors do they exhibit if they're living in this kind of world? The tension I think churches face, and we talked to a group yesterday about this, you can list these things like competencies or whatever you want to call them, or behaviors that you want to see, and then you can train people to do the behaviors. It's the wrong approach, or it's kind of a little bit backward. It's sort of like taking the fruit of the Spirit, which is a wonderful thing, and saying, okay, now how do I train you to be more joyful? How do I train you to be more loving? How do I train, versus the fruit of the Spirit comes when people walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So the question then becomes, how do we help people walk in the Spirit? How do we help people connect with the Spirit and be about the things that Christ is about? And so what are the activities and environments that we want to make sure people enter into? And then we're going to look for the fruit. And if the fruit's not there, we got to come back and look at what we're doing in the environment, whether it's teaching or training or, whatever. So that's what I've observed with churches. It's real easy to get that list of what we'd like to see in a disciple and then start putting a bunch of classes around to kind of make that, and versus using it as measures of whether we're effective.
Now, when you realize that maybe something isn't happening as well as you'd like it to, and I know as we talked there a while back, you said for the first time in 32 years we decided to give up our midweek service for the sake of doing, a different approach to our discipleship and training.
Sure.
So, that's a huge thing. That's a big thing, bucking traditions, et cetera. Help us get our arms around a little bit of just the process it goes through to say, okay, this isn't working, let's do something different, and just making that transition happen.
Sure. I think a few of the things are very, the first thing is really, and maybe it's obvious, but a leader declares reality. And I think the first thing we have to do is say, what is our reality? Let's get our emotions aside. Let's put even some of our traditions aside. Maybe what even worked for me was spiritually transforming for me. Let's try to put all that aside and say, does this really work? Is this really the way God wants us to express this value or this purpose or this, whatever language you're using in your church? and trying to remember that a lot of these things that we do, regardless of sometimes how they're argued, are methodologies and ways of expressing core values or core biblical or theological truths. So part of it was to name reality, and the reality actually took place long before we reveal and began to realize that as this church, Willow, was maturing, and we're still a pretty young church, but we're moving into the 10th, 15th, 18th years, we have a group of people who, of course, are growing, some always new people coming in the movement that churches experience, but a core developing and growing and realizing we don't have a lot of 101, 201 level Christians anymore. We've got a whole bandwidth of people at various stages of faith and growth and experience, et cetera. And so that was already in the works. And we kind of ignored it for a while, I would say, or we knew it was there, but we could get away with not addressing it, I think. And this is my opinion initially, not saying this in a bad way, but we had Ortberg, you know, we had some great teaching here. And so it was always great worship and catalytic teaching and things that inspired and grounded and rooted people. But we had to keep facing this reality that sort of on the two ends of the bell curve, we were missing the mark. Folks coming kind of on the front end of development and folks who are more mature. And so part of it, first, name reality. Second, get some real data. Okay, this is what we see, then let's get data. And that's what prompted things like Reveal. Let's really see what people's spiritual growth patterns look like, what's affecting them, what are we doing as a, quote, church, using it in a corporate sense, what are we doing to enforce that, develop it, guide people? Are we doing the right kinds of things? Or are we just doing more of something that we think works for a certain group of people, which turned out to be the case? You know, if you do something and it seems to work for a certain group, you do a lot of it, you know? And that was kind of a mistake, and I think to just, you know, do more and better of it. You know, if a midweek service works to really equip people, let's get it better and better and better and better and better. Well, that was okay, again, for a certain group of people, but it was ignoring some of these other groups.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that would be the second thing there, I think, that you really have to do.
How far do you go in custom fitting a program or, you know, a decision based on a few people? And then also, maybe separate, what about those people who push back and say, hey, no, this is working for me. Why are we giving it up? Because probably that did happen.
Well, that's exactly, and that's the third piece of this, and this is no particular order. I mean, if I sat down and jotted it on a paper, I'm sure I'm missing a step or two. But there's a sense of you see reality, you get some data to kind of confirm that reality or at least to segment or articulate it in a way that makes sense where you can say, okay, yeah, we know there's some dissatisfaction, we know there's some mistakes we're making, but where and how much? So the data helps clarify that. But then you say, okay, here's what we're seeing, and you start to feed that to people, and you start to actually then lead. You have to say, look, the data says this. You know, here's what the truth says. Here's what the data says. We actually then need to make some kind of decision or some progress in reaction to this. And then you got to get your core people in a circle, you know, and people that will be affected by this. And so, yeah, we did focus groups. We did conversations with folks. And what we heard back, we invited a lot of input, and we did hear back, boy, you know, one thing about midweek, and this is true maybe just in this Chicago land, I don't know, but for a lot of folks, particularly in the winter, I mean, it's just really something to build their soul in the middle of the week, in a crazy week if they're commuting from downtown. And that idea of standing there and proclaiming God's truth and worshiping together and all that was just a very soul-feeding kind of thing, even if it didn't teach them all the little skill areas that they need to grow and develop in. There was something about that. And when we really got behind it, a lot of it was, frankly, that quote-unquote worship time. I mean, they wanted to come and declare the glories of God and sing and praise. Do it, and we're going to evaluate along the way, so give us grace. But we have to make changes, folks. And so here's our first shot at doing the best we can with the data we have. Trust us a bit. Give us some grace. We'll trust you. But let's do this together. And then we want to hear from you. And then we want to evaluate it through the leadership lens as well and see, are we delivering what we promised? And so far, that first round has been, you know, very positive. We're making some tweaks as we go into the next round of this. But this is here to stay from the foreseeable future.
That's good. So as we have just a minute to sort of wrap up, I'm a pastor sitting here listening to this. I don't have someone as brilliant as Bill Donahue on my staff to analyze this. Where do I begin?
In analyzing what in particular? Just the whole adult development?
Yeah, adult development.
Yeah, in a couple areas. Obviously, Scripture guides this, and I don't want to be trite about that. I mean, you really keep coming back to what is it that we're trying to produce and make and getting clear. I think you got to get your folks in a circle. Who's on your core team? And get out a sheet of paper again, and I think really press this. It's almost like a 101 level exercise, but I'm going to sit down and say, what's a disciple here? I mean, what's a fully functioning disciple look like? What are they doing? What are they believing? What are they feeling and thinking? And let people reengage that. And get your core lay leaders and folks that have been around the church for a while involved in that process. But you got to come to clarity at some point on that and make a decision. You know, we're going to simplify this down to these few marks primarily to start with, or whatever they are. And then I think you have to do the really hard work of saying, and this is the reality check, is what we're doing really helping produce this? We may be doing lots of good things. There's lots of clubs and meetings and lunches and concerts and, you know, I mean, there's maybe 100 things our church is doing. And even in a small church, I'm in a church of 120, they got 50 things going on, you know. Do these things focus around building this kind of person? Because that's what our primary call is. So I think that's the hardest work for someone listening, to really get ruthless about saying, is what we're doing really producing the results? And if not, either we're going to say no to it, or we're going to change it radically, and we got to have the courage to do that. And that's where it really comes down to leadership.
That's great. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. We appreciate it, and we'll make the most of that.
Sounds good.
Hey, if you'd like to learn more about Rev Magazine, go to rev.org and discover the world's most practical church leader periodical. I'm Alan Nelson, wishing you God's best in your ministry.